7 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Toy, holla.
Hey, babies, it's your girl, Miss P, and you're now tuned in to the Intune Show. For all those tuning in for the first time, I hope it's not your last. And for all those who tuned in for the 100,000th time or more, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Your support is needed, okay, because this platform was created for each and every one of you. So if there's ever anything that you guys want to talk about on the show, have any show topics, like you do music yourself or you have expertise, skills, talents of any kind, and know anyone that does, please get in tune with me at intuneshow@aol or hit me up on Twitter. I'm very responsive, maybe not right away, but I'm always responsive. Get in tune with me because I want to get in tune with you. So tonight's show, we're going to be talking to Phoenix, and we're going to be talking to Sister Mary Beth. And again, I reiterate that Sister Mary Beth is not a nun, okay, guys? I've been asked that question, like, for the last 2 weeks, and, you know, she's just one of those great spirits that have, like, a unique name that we will gain insight on shortly, as does Phoenix. But just a little bit about Phoenix, you know, she's like, whoa. That's all I can really say in a nutshell. And anybody who's in tune with her really knows her drive, her ambition, and the slew of things that she has her hands in. And, you know, I commend her and I look up to her as a woman because of the simple fact there's so many of us that's sitting around dreaming or talking about the things that we want to do in life but never really putting them into play. So Phoenix is one of those women that I consider to be, you know, every woman because she does it all. And that's why I wanted to, you know, take the time to honor her tonight and, you know, gain more insight on her. So, you know, that's an awesome thing. Very awesome thing. So for all those out there that's sitting around on your couch, twiddling your thumbs and doing much, nothing much but watching Maury, hopefully, and no pun intended, by the way, hopefully you guys can gain by, you know, listening into all the things that she does and just think to yourself, like, I had to think to myself, like, dag, Phoenix does everything. Am I doing enough? You know, I'm not saying push yourself to, you know, the limits, but I'm just saying do more than what you do because life is short and, you know, time's wasted. So while we waited for her to give us a call in, you know, I'm going to play another track for us to, like, jam to for a little bit. And this one happens to be one of my favorite, and this one is called This Beat by Brittany J.
My hips still rocking, I guess ain't no stopping.
Yeah, so that was Brittany J, this beat. And prior to that, Toy was actually written by Phoenix. That's why I played it first, and Tonight particularly. But just to let you guys know, that song is in rotation. You know, I don't want you guys to think that I just played it because Phoenix is going to be on tonight. It's actually a song that I enjoy listening to. So that is in rotation, and it was sung by Jaquille Holiday, if I'm not mistaken. Tired, guys. I'm tired. So without further ado, let's bring on Phoenix. Hey, Phoenix, how you doing tonight?
I am awesome. How are you?
Right. So the first thing I want to do is get this man's name right, just in case he's tuned in. I don't want him to hate me. You know, I always, is it Jaquille Holiday?
Yeah, it is Jaquille. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was almost there. Shout out to Mr. Holiday for doing his thing on Toy. Sexy. You know, I'm loving it. And I love the ending. I'll be your toy. Definitely what I want someone to be. Okay? No. So, Phoenix, I'm so excited to have you here tonight, of course, as always. You know, you are very ambitious, driven, and, you know, I think a lot of people can take some key points from you tonight. So, I don't know. There's so much that you do that tonight, well, actually the entire day, I was trying to, like, contemplate where that I want to start at. You know, and I said, well, maybe I shouldn't think so hard about where I want to start. Maybe I should just let you start and, you know, give us a little bit of insight on Phoenix. You know, like, who are you? Where are you from? Are you like a clone? Or, like, are you real? Like, really, seriously?
I'm not a clone. I'm from South Carolina. I'm not from Mars or, like, I wasn't created in a laboratory. Or anything like that. You know, I'm just a regular person that dreams big, pretty much, you know.
Okay. So you're dreaming big, but you're not doing big. That's what you're trying to say? You're trying to stay humble on this interview? That's what you're trying to do right now on my show? What you doing?
Well, you know how I do, though. But I don't want to toot my own horn, you know. But
no, that's what this is all about, tooting. I mean, how many opportunities do we get every single day to be able to, like, you know, just talk to a bunch of people about who you are so they can gain on so many different levels. So tonight is your night, Phoenix. So live it up and definitely, you know, let us know. Don't hold back.
Okay. How are you going to put me on the spot? Like, on the
this
spot,
is your spotlight,
spot.
Though. This is definitely your spotlight.
So much going on.
All right, so let me pick one then. Let me pick one, since you have a trouble, you don't know where to start. You know, this is the point of me asking you to do it, okay? But anyway, let's start with songwriting. How old were you when you started songwriting?
Well, professionally or just writing anything?
In general.
In general. I was probably like maybe 8 or 9. I would just, me and my sister used to kind of just, like, sit on the back of, like, my, because I live in the country, so, you know, there are a lot of parked cars in the yard and stuff, so I just used to sit on the back and hum out stuff and make up words or make up lyrics and just try to put them together. Never wrote any of them really down or anything like that, but that's what kind of made me want to just get into it because I stayed at it.
So when did you decide to do it professionally?
Professionally was probably back in 2008. I really started to take it seriously because at first I started off like producing music, but it wasn't really like my thing. I would always try to make whenever I would be creating a beat or producing an instrumental, I would always end up making the instrument sound like they were singing, so to speak. Like, I would just, the melody would sound like they were actually singing, but, so I said, you know, let me try my hand at writing. So I started writing, and it was funny because I was using auto-tune. I didn't know how to use it at first, you know, and I kind of, like, my friend was telling me, oh, all you got to do is, like, X, Y, Z, put it on key, and then set it this way and that way, and you're good to go. So I was like, well, I can do this because, I don't know, and I just did it. Like, I just learned a lot. You know, on my own, like a lot of self-taught stuff. So I started doing that, and then that's actually around the time I wrote Toy. So I actually recorded it myself first, and then I sent it to Jaquille. And I've just been working with him ever since because, like, everybody loves it. You know, I've sent it a few places. Like, we're still actually shopping the song. So I'm just, you know, like, that's not the only one we got, but that's the one that's kind of, like, been mega, you know. So that's kind of where I started with it. I know you didn't even know all that, but.
No, I needed to know all of that. You know, come on, this is an interview. What are you talking about? But definitely, you know, I like the song really, you know, and I think the reason, in my opinion, that a lot of people resonate with that song the most is because it's sexy. I mean, what lady out there, or guy for that matter, wouldn't want to, like, you know, have something sexy on versus something that's like boom, boom, boom. Like, boom, 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 you have to be in the mood for it. But definitely something sexy, that's like a everyday, all day thing. So that's where that song comes into play at. Play, toy, you get it? Toy, play,
yeah,
toy, no.
That makes a lot of sense right there. I see what you did there.
Exactly. See, that just came off the top of the head. Yeah, stay in tune, you okay? Stay in tune. I have some good ones. No, I'm just kidding.
She's slick. Y'all got to listen. Y'all got to listen closely. She was slick. She slick put that in there.
So, okay, aside from the songwriting, you also write poetry.
Yes.
Okay, and I think that kind of goes hand in hand, poetry,
yeah,
you know, yeah, and songwriting and things of that nature. So tell us a little bit about the poetry, because, you know, it's a little steamy, but I'm going to let you fill us in on that.
Okay, well, basically, I mean, I actually started writing poetry. Well, I wrote a lot of it in high school, kind of just get my frustration out and stuff, and I had notebooks I would be writing in class, but I really didn't start writing until I started reading, I think it was Tupac Shakur's book, The Rose That Grew from Concrete, and I just thought it was amazing. So I was like, wow, like, you can really feel what he's actually putting into it. It's not the roses are red, violets are blue type thing, you know, that you really see a lot of people doing. So that made me want to go ahead and just write, because I just saw how, you know, how it moved people, and I was like, well, I hope one day that my writing can move people like that. So that's where it actually started. Right now, what's going on is that I know that I have other people, you know, that do write, you know, and I want them to be able to show off their skills as well with their poetry or their short story writing or whatever. So I actually created a blog called Rainbow Rendezvous, which it has, like, I think close to maybe 30 writers, and we're still looking for more. It is in, like, it's kind of like an adult writing site or whatever, but it's just something where people can come and have other people read it, and it's really, I mean, to me, it's getting pretty popular. So I really just want to see more writers and more people giving feedback and just put it out there like that. And also, aside from Rainbow Rendezvous, which you can visit rainbow-rendezvous.com, I also have Super Inc., which is the new promotion company that we actually had to branch it off from my primary promotion company, which basically is going to end up marketing first-time authors or people that are looking to self-publish for the first time and helping them with social media. So we wanted to have something out there for people that, you know, that don't really know a lot about either social media or publishing their own work for the first time, because there's a lot of people that are talented that don't know where to start, and so I just wanted to have something out there for them to do that. So that's what we got, and I'm hoping to actually launch the site hopefully in August for Super Inc., and that's also for, like, painters, people that do visual arts as well. So we have visual arts and people that are either poets or short story writers, just authors in general.
Right. That's so awesome. I love it. I really do. I mean, just to come up with something like that is just like, whoa, how come I didn't think of it? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But when you write, so to speak, you know, do you sit and think through every word, or do you just, like, write freely, allowing the words to flow?
I don't even, to be truly honest, I actually don't. I know this is going to sound cliche, and like something Jay-Z would say, but I don't write. Like, I don't write down things. Like, I end up typing it in the end after I'm finished, but all I do is I set up my equipment and I start recording myself, and, like, I just go back if I didn't like something I said or something like that, I just delete that line, and then just start over. I don't even really write, so it just kind of comes to me, and that's kind of how Toy came about, because I was feeling the music, I was into it, I was just doing my thing, and it was like it just came to me, and I didn't really write it until I had to actually, you know, write it so that the artist could sing it. So it kind of comes to me.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. You know, that brain power of yours, you know, jealousy, Miss P, jealous. No, but so how do you get in that mental place where you find, you know, this deep interior, you know, to write? Like, what inspires you, so to speak?
I don't know. Like, I want to write something that, I like creating things that I feel that other people are going to feel. You have people that kind of just make music or write something that they just want to be popular. It's garbage. You know what I mean? It's, like, truly garbage. But when you get a feeling, like, I kind of sit there and I'm like, I pick over beats, not saying people's beats are bad or anything, but if I don't feel it, if it doesn't move me, I'm not going to use it. So it's just, the beat has to move me, and it just comes to me. And I just, you know, whatever emotion I'm feeling at the time comes out.
Mhm. Yeah. And, you know what's so awesome about that? Because, you know, I used to like to write, to be honest. And, you know, when you're, like, kind of, like, navigating through your life and you're starting to experience and come into certain things, one minute you want to do this, one minute you want to do that. So you go in and out of these different, like, you know, I want to be this, I want to be that. No, I want to do this, I want to do that. So writing was one of the things that I enjoyed most. And I actually love English. You know, like, I love, like, English and philosophy, love it. But anyway, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I just had this fear, like, of writing, so to speak. And I don't know if you ever, I mean, obviously you don't fear anything, but when it comes down to just, like, being creative and throwing yourself out there, but there's so many times that I've, like, fear, like, okay, what would someone think? And, you know, no, this is not good enough. I have to hold this and wait on this and marinate on it or whatever. So when it comes down to, like, you know, people actually reading your work, you know, do you fear the reception?
I think I used to, because it would be a lot of things that I would create and I would be kind of iffy about sharing it with people, because a lot of times, you know, I've actually done things with people before, as far as, like, people that I thought, you know, could help me with the music business or whatever. And the reception, well, this was when I was producing before I started writing, and it was like, you know, you kind of, they kind of don't respond the way that you would want them to, so you're like, oh, man, I got to go back to the lab, I got to do this over again, and, you know, I got to rewrite this. I can't let nobody read it until it's perfect. But what you don't realize is, if you're not feeling it, if you don't feel it, then, you know, there's no way that other people are going to feel it. So you got to kind of, like, just go with your heart and go with your, you know, go with your spirit and your intuition and just put it out there. Like, you can't be afraid, because either way, you were brave enough to put it out there, you know. Like, if you don't try, you'll never know. So I just always said, well, I'm going to try. Like, I can't be afraid to share my gifts with other people, you know, because somebody's going to, like, appreciate it. Somebody's going to love what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way that I look at it.
That's true, you know. And maybe, you know, this is inspiring me a little bit. So maybe, you know, like, tomorrow I'm just going to, like, email you 1,000 things, like, read this and I'd be like the 31st writer on a web blog, you know. What do you think about that?
You should be. Don't play with me. Like, don't play, because I will have you writing like 5 and 6 pieces a week just for homework.
Dang.
That'll be your homework. I'm saying,
oh my god,
that'll
really
put you,
like,
cut.
No, yeah, man, really. No, I have to back down. I have to backseat of fear. The fear is like,
no.
It's making me digress. It's making me digress. Like, no, I can't do it. You know, I have so much on my plate right now. It's crazy pants. And to, like, turn around and just try to write 6 pieces a week, like, is that 6 sentences? Because I could do one a week, like, one a day.
You know what? You could. They have poems like that. So you can kind of just do one line. I might let you get away with it.
Okay, my poem would be, stay in tune with Miss P, period.
That
done.
That would be beautiful. you know, I would dissect it, you know, like, oh, she's like, being really metaphorical here, you know what I mean? Like, she wants you guys to stay in tune with Miss P. Miss P could stand for power or something like that. I'm like, oh, wow, that's deep, Miss P.
All right. See, that's only because we cool, you know. Someone else would be like, really? This is what she wrote and this is what you're allowing on the blog, you know, really?
Yeah. No, I'm right. Let somebody say so.
Okay. Somebody better. See, yeah, I heard that here. Nobody better test her when it comes to Ms. P. Nah. Okay. It's all a joke, guys. You know, I hope everyone's, like, laughing. Because I am.
I hope so.
Yeah,
hope
me
not.
Too.
I'm just saying.
So what's your ultimate goal in all that you do? Because I also know that you work with artists as well, so we didn't even scratch the surface of the many things that you do. So before you tell me what your ultimate goal is, what is it that you do exactly with artists?
Well, right now what I try to do with them is, like, we've had, like, webinars. I try to educate people. As far as to how to look for the scams and how to actually capitalize on their music, because a lot of people are doing a lot of things that is actually making them lose money, if you ask me, by actually being stolen from, you know, with their music, by not copywriting it or, you know, not protecting themselves, so they actually lose out. And either they're not protecting themselves by having somebody steal from them, or they're using something that is copyrighted by somebody else, and they don't understand that you can't do certain things. Like, a lot of people try to sell mixtapes. And, I mean, there is a way to make money from mixtapes, but at the same time, you can't really sell a mixtape. You know what I mean? Certain things. So it's just trying to educate artists as far as teaching them, you know, if you're really trying to make this a career, if this is something that you're really trying to do, you're looking for longevity. You're not looking for, like, making one hit and then that's it. You know what I mean? You don't want to be one of those people. So it's just trying to educate them. And then we also do promotions for them, music reviews. I create electronic press kits, websites, and just trying to teach them how to brand themselves. But most importantly, the education. Because you don't want to get, like, I know it's hard. That'll make a lot of times some people have given up because they've been stolen from and they feel like everybody in the industry is just terrible and, you know, so horrible. But it's not like that. If you're educated with what you're trying to do, if you're informed, you know, then you can protect yourself and you can know what you're doing. Like, you know how to move in the room with, like, the sharks and the piranhas and the barracudas and all that, you know what I mean? So it's just trying to teach people how to navigate through the music industry so that they don't have to really go to a major and they can actually just make, you know, like I said, make money where they're at and actually take it forward, you know, move it forward as this is their career, this is what they're going to do full time. So, you know, we do have webinars and different things that, you know, I use to try to inform and educate them. So that's just what I do with the artists. So, yeah.
Wow. Like, I'm sitting here, like, really? I mean, anyone that's tuned in tonight that's an artist and not utilizing your services is a little nutty. And, you know, we're going to leave that nut job stuff alone and we're going to get in tuned and we're going to just kind of, like, reach out to this woman and, you know, gain. You know, because if I was an artist, I would definitely, this would be definitely some helpful stuff, you know, because here it is. I'm not an artist. I can't sing. I can't dance. I can't do anything besides, like, you know, maybe shop, you know, and maybe drive someone crazy. But other than those two professions, shopping and driving someone crazy, like, I can't even imagine, like, being an artist and being, you know, lost, because there's so many managers, quote unquote, so much PR, and so many people out here, like you said, the barracudas or whatever, that are not really putting the artists on because the artists are not educating themselves on the business and how it works, because everybody's, like, blindsided by the shiny stuff that they think that you achieve on day one or day two. But it's a grind, you know, and I'm seeing that, you know, being out here in the entertainment world, like, going to these showcases and stuff like that. It's crazy out here, and, you know, I don't like, understand how people don't take the time to learn and, you know, research and dissect, as Maggie said in the chat room. She says she loves science and she loves to dissect. And she says she be learning. If I'm saying that correct, you know.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the Black Martha Stewart, you know, she's like, oh, I'm going to be blowing up your email. I mean, it's a good show tonight. I really must say everyone is supportive of Phoenix because Phoenix is always supportive of everyone else. And, you know, it's just really overwhelming. And there's so much going on that I can't even keep up with everything that everyone is saying. But for the most part, I think it's Makeba. It's, you know, Black Martha Stewart, just, you know, tweeting back and forth, and, you know, they enjoying the show, and I love the fact that they're interactive and, you know, adding into everything.
I love you guys.
Yeah, you should, because
y'all.
They love you.
Shout out to y'all, Black Martha Stewart, Sheba,
yeah, Black Martha
Maggie,
Stewart said, the into show say shopping and driving is a profession. No, shopping and driving someone crazy is my profession. Black Martha Stewart. And also, just for the record, for all those who are not in tune with Black Martha Stewart, really quick, you guys need to, like, really look her up under BLKMARTHASTWART, because I just ordered my cupcakes from her, and I am so excited, okay? I just needed to put that out there real quick, because every time I see her, like, name come up, I just think about, ooh, I'm going to have some cupcakes. You know, I get so excited,
oh,
yeah. It's the kid in me.
It's all good.
It's all good, right, Phoenix? So
yeah.
Let's go back to the last question that, you know, I asked you in reference to, like, what's your ultimate goal with all your projects? You know, all of them have a mission, which seems to me that is all about empowering people around you, which is, like, so deep to me. And, I mean, you're just taking on, like, different arenas of empowerment and, you know, doing your thing. So what is your ultimate goal that you see for yourself with all that you do?
Well, ultimately, wow, that's a very good question.
I know, you want to in tune, though.
Well, honestly, like, you know, well, my ultimate goal, I would say, you know, I do want to, like, help. I just want to help people as far as, like, this music industry, where this music industry goes. And also, I do want to become a better songwriter, you know what I mean? And it's always room for improvement, even if I got to, you know, read some more books and take some more classes or something like that, I will do it. But I do want to have at least a few placements. I want to make some not hit. I don't want to make one. I want to make memorable things. I want to make classics. You know what I mean? I want to make something that always sounds new and, you know, and classic to people, and it actually moves people. Because honestly, like, when you think about music, you have people like Whitney Houston. You know, may she rest in peace. And sometimes you don't know that what your gifts are. But a lot of, like, when you have so many people that are affected by your music and by what you do and by, you know, just from, like, your presence, period, and, like, Michael Jackson, people like that, like, you've shared your gift with the world and you've actually moved people and you've helped people to actually want to be better or do something with their lives. So, you know, that's just really what I want to do. I want to, you know, make classics as far as the songwriting goes. I kind of want to have, you know, I want to still expand my company, the Phoenix.9 Online Promotions and the Super Inc., and then I want to just have people, you know, come on the team so that I can actually have jobs and whatnot for people, you know what I mean, that are really serious about what they're trying to do with music and that are interested in also, you know, helping other people. As far as Rainbow Rendezvous is concerned, I want it to be to grow. I want to have at least 100 riders. Like, we got 30 something, you know, and we're just looking to get more, hopefully. You know, it's a lot of people that can write, so it's just trying to reel them in and get them to step up and say, okay, I'm brave enough to share my writing and see how many people, you know, enjoy it, or just share it, period, you know what I mean, and get it out there, because you never know if you don't try. So those are my, let me see, did we cover all that? Yeah, I think we covered everything.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So you said Whitney Houston and you brought up Michael Jackson. Like, are there any other people that inspired you along the way in your life's journey?
Wow. Also another good question. I would say the people that have inspired me would be my mother, and my twin sister, my family, period, because, you know, they really support me in what I do, and they're always asking me questions. You know, I don't want to say how old people think and stuff, but, you know, when it was different years ago, they would be like, oh, you know, all you got to do is send this off to so-and-so, send this off to P. Diddy or whatever his name is, and, you know, and that type of thing, and it don't work like that, but, you know, they really are aggressive about and really positive about what I do, no matter what it is, even with the songwriting. But people as far as, like, role models and whatnot that I look up to, it would probably be people like, Prince. Like, Prince, everybody loves Prince, or the artist formerly known as Prince. You know, everybody loves him. So, and he's just, you know, you can't help but move when Prince comes on. Like, come on. So he's one of the people that I actually really love, you know, listening to. Then you got SWV, which they just came out with a new album, which I thought was an awesome album. But they really inspired me from the jump, like way from the jump. But those are like the main people. I'm trying to think songwriting wise. Michael Jackson was like an awesome songwriter. Like I forgot what album he released. Beforehand, but I knew he released Thriller, and I knew he did writing on that, and it was just like, you know, wow. When you can actually look at people's lyrics to certain songs that they've put out, their hits, you're like, oh wow, like this was deeper than you actually, you know, got when you were actually listening to it. So then once you see this is what they actually wrote, and you get the meaning behind it, it makes it even better. So those are the people that I look up to and that inspired me to kind of get into everything that I'm doing.
Right. So we have a question in the chat room from Teresa, and she wants to know, so what are you working on now, Phoenix? Your next goal, what is it?
Ooh, okay. Okay. My next goal is just really this Super Ink, getting Super Ink off the ground with that and trying to make that company grow. That would be my next goal, and having people, I may break down and actually get other people involved as far as employees or other people that are consultants. So now I'm kind of looking forward to doing and having other people come in with that company. So that would be my next goal.
Right, exactly. And I wanted to know, because I heard you have a soap. A custom bar,
oh,
soap bar.
Let's talk about that. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about that. So tell us about your, you know, your Phoenix bar.
My Phoenix bar. First off, though, I want to say this, okay? This soap that I got, right, this young lady, well, she has a company, and it's called Mood Setters, and they created... the company created this wonderful soap for me, and it's called the Phoenix Bar, and it's gold, and it shines, you know what I'm saying? It's like, who was that was shining? I don't know, but it just makes me think of that song, Let the Soul Glow, from Coming to America.
Soul Glow, uh-huh.
So I took a picture, and I kind of just made it glow, but it glows, and it smells so delicious. Like, I just smelled so good. It was like, wow, I could eat this soap, like, if it was, like, candy or something, like, I could eat. I know it contains, like, the scents, like, frankincense, myrrh, sandalwood, and I think it was bay rum that's also in it. All I know is it smells delicious. And for the record, and, you know, I'm just going to say this. I mean, I'm just going to say this about this soap, and I ain't going to say nothing else about it. You know what I'm saying? But I think the soap is actually making me more attractive. I don't know what's happening. You know what I mean? I don't know what's happening. I think the soap is slimming me down. I've been losing weight. Like, I don't know what's happening. But it was created by, and another thing, though, really quickly about the soap, you know, like I said, the scents that are in it, and I think, I don't know, it's got frankincense and myrrh. I told my friend, he asked me, what does it smell like? I told him, he said he didn't want to smell like a girl or whatever, and I told him it smelled like, you know, you'll smell like a cane whenever you get finished, you know, with it. So simply because, you know, frankincense and myrrh, you know, that's what Jesus was brought from the three kings, well, from the kings or whatever that came and brought him, you know, the gifts or whatever. So I'm like, this is some magical soap. You know what I'm saying? It melts fast, and it's good, and it's all natural. It's handmade, and I look forward to getting more. And, you know, you guys, it's actually Miss T's company. She's giggling, but it's her company, and she really looked out for me, and the soap smells delicious. If you do need a sample, you can contact me or Miss T, and that's intuneshow@aol.com?
Yes.
Yes.
You
got it. And it's delicious soap. I mean, you can't eat it or nothing. And also, you can get your own custom-made soap. Like I said, it's all natural, handmade. I haven't broken out, and because I usually break out with certain things. But this is, like, wonderful soap. It doesn't dry my skin out or anything. It's dope. I love it.
Yay. It's so dope. Yay, Miss P and Phoenix Bar. Yeah, and just to add to that a little bit real quick is that I really wanted to put something together for Phoenix because, you know, I do have my own bath and body line, and she's just so amazing and inspiring. And from the first time we connected, I really felt touched by her and moved by her. And each one of my products are actually named after people that I adore. So she just happened to be one of those individuals. So she had to get, you know, a bar named after her. So it's definitely, you know, I enjoyed making it. It was fun, you know. I don't think I'm going to enjoy making it now that she loves it so much. I was like, maybe she'll hate it, and I don't have to keep making them.
Nope,
you know, exactly. So far I shipped out quite a few orders already, aside from Phoenix's, which will go out tomorrow. And, you know, like again, if anyone's interested in that, you know, we can talk at a later date because this is Phoenix interview, so I'm just going to, like, leave that one alone for now. So we have a caller on the line, 843, you're on the line with Phoenix and Miss P. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to say Phoenix is my twin.
Hi,
I just
twin.
Think that she is hi. I just wanted to give her a shout out. I think she is awesome, and, you know, she's going to be doing some big things here.
Yes, definitely. She definitely is.
Dropped.
And what'd you say?
I said a single tear just dropped.
A single tear? How come a bunch of tears, like a bucket of tears, that didn't fall down? You know,
you know,
your sister,
no, I wasn't
your twin?
Start weeping on the line like that, you know.
You should have. You know,
wow.
We could have had like a sister moment. Y'all could have bonded with me. You know, made me a honorary sister. You know what I mean? Because I have no sisters. I'm the only girl, and I guess that's why I'm a trip, you know? So that would have definitely made me feel like I belonged if you would have started weeping.
See, Phoenix?
No, I wasn't going to weep. I wasn't about to start weeping and crying and all that. Not tonight. Not tonight.
Right, not tonight. Maybe tomorrow night, but not tonight.
Yeah, maybe.
So is there
tomorrow.
Anything else you want to say to your twin sister, my love?
I love you.
Mm-hmm. I love you, too.
But thank you, for real. I appreciate you supporting me and calling in. Thank you.
Oh, anytime. I'm proud of you, sis.
Bye. Now I'm going to start weeping.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. I can't even handle it. Enough. Enough is enough. I have to, like, you know, put her back on hold. Thank you, sis. Thank you, Cece. Now I'm a sister. Like, thanks, sis. You know, see how I just, like, you know, just join people's family randomly? Like, honestly, I have over 200 families. You know, I should never be hungry. I should never want for anything. You know, it's just, like, one of those things because I just added myself to everyone's family, everyone, you know, and it all multicultural families. So, you know, I just, you know, I'm from every race. So I'm telling everybody, people like, where are you from? Everywhere. Everywhere. For all, belong everywhere. Okay. Miss P has, you know, the blood of every man. Okay. For real.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. So is there anything else that you want, you know, our listeners to, you know about Phoenix and her movement? And, you know, what can we expect? You know, I know that you have your next project coming on, but for the most part, you know, where can people find you and stay in tuned?
Ooh, they can find me on Twitter. Like, I'm always on Twitter. Well, even if I'm not on. See, let me say this real quick. Cause people get it.
No,
so
sure.
Confused. You might see some tweets go out. I'm not always up like people think. I do sleep, even if it's for 3 or 4 hours. I do try to rest, you know, occasionally, but I am on Twitter at PhoenixStar9, and then my website is PhoenixStar9Online.com. You can find me there. Let me see what else. What other website? Well, no, the other Twitter that you can actually follow me on for more of the updates from the blog and from my website or whatever is PS9Online. So everybody can reach me there pretty much. You know, and then just get at me on Twitter and, you know, like, just speak to me like a, you know, a lot of people speak at me, but just speak to me, you know, I'll speak back, I'll follow back, just let me know you're following me, and I got you.
Aw, you're the best. You really are. And I'm sure that everyone that is tuned in tonight, because there are a lot of people tuned in tonight for you, Phoenix, and I know why, because you're awesome and amazing, and don't ever, ever change, which I don't think you will. But it's like sometimes you think this person will never do something, and then they turn around and do it. And if you do, y'all see me on the news because I'm a killer. No. So don't ever, ever, ever change who you are. Keep doing what you're doing. And like your twin sister said, you know, it's only bright lights. It's only bright lights around you. You know, you are supportive to everyone. I see you tweeting and retweeting and flipping and dipping, and I'll be like, dang, you know, like, I got to get on it. So I try to be retweeting right with you. I'm trying to get on your team. I'm trying to get on your team, but I get tired sometimes. And I'm like, you know, I can't keep up with Phoenix, you know. And before I let you go, I definitely want you to elaborate on that name, Phoenix, because when I think of Phoenix, I think of, you know, the bird of fire. So, you know, tell me about it.
Well, you know, the phoenix actually, to me, it represents rebirth. It represents actually being able to kind of go back and reinvent yourself. And, like, you know, a lot of times we go through a lot of things in life and we, some people shut down. You know what I mean? Some people shut right down. But a phoenix actually rises from the ashes after it's, you know, it goes and it passes away, but then it just comes back. And, you know, it's reborn. So that's just kind of like how I felt that I had to do a lot of things. Like, I just can't, you know, I just can't lay down there and quit. So that's just where it comes from.
Aw, you're so cutie pants. So we have so we have two other calls on the line. So let's take some calls. 478, you on the line with Phoenix and Ms. P. How you doing tonight?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Maggie. It's Maggie.
Hey.
May I speak with Tammy, please?
No,
I just wanted to call in real quick and just say thank you to Phoenix Star. She has been, like, a huge help to myself and Graveyard Entertainment, along with our artist, Sir Nasty. When I came to Twitter last year, like, I had no idea what I was really doing, but I know that it needed to be done, and I was chosen by Sir Nasty and a couple other people to try to make some things happen as far as internet marketing goes, I guess you want to say. So Phoenix Star, like everybody else, I guess, I saw her energy and I saw what she was doing, and I'm like, maybe I should ask a question or two. And, yeah, my questions have probably turned into, like, 1,000 now. So I just want to tell her I really, really thank you, and I don't know how to thank you enough other than saying thank you, like, every day. And I also make sure I reach out to her and let her know that she can call upon me for anything that she ever needs help with or anything like that. You're a great individual. Keep doing what you do. And, you know, there's always going to be those people that talk about what it is that you do, but whether it's bad or good, they talking. So keep them talking.
Oh,
eardrop, another one.
Oh, my God, no, like, literally, right. Like, I can't take this show tonight. Like, if I knew that I was going to cry, I would have washed my face. I would have had, like, took off my mascara because, really, like, you know, now imagine what I'm going to look like after this. You know, it's crazy.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
All
no
right.
Warning. Thank you,
I'm
Maggie.
I'm about to go. You guys are getting all mushy now, so I'm going to hang
out. Oh, no, you
wait,
started.
Maggie, before you go, tell everybody about Graveyard Entertainment really quick, where they can find you and stuff of that nature.
Graveyard Entertainment, Graveyard ENT on Twitter, and our artist is Sir Nasty out of Macon, Georgia, Sir the number 7, Nasty the number 4, or you can go to his website, SirNasty74.com.
Yay. I'm excited. So thank you so much, Maggie Love, for being so awesome yourself. You also another individual that I embrace with open arms at all times. So thank you for being amazing as well.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Y'all have a good night.
You too, babe.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
Yeah, so that's awesome. So we have another caller, 706, you're on the line with Miss P. And Phoenix, how you doing tonight?
What's happening? 706 Nixon calling in to support my
I love Nix. I'm a groupie. Look.
Yo, Nix is like dope.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm just calling in to show some support, man. Y'all had a good show, good interview. Kind of jealous. I think it was better than mine.
Well, then we got to have you back then, Nix. That's all it has to be. You know? That's all it has to be. You know, because now that you know what your pet peeve was, you know, and I love the fact that you tweeted me that. Like, I know what my pet peeve is now. People driving, the way people drive.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome because, you know, you got me that answer. You know, I asked Nix, you know, what was her pet peeve? She said, I actually don't have one. And I'm like, really? You don't have a pet peeve, really? And then, like, a few days later, she tweeted me, like, oh, yeah, it's people that drive the way they drive or something like that. But it has something to do with people in cars. Yeah.
Oh, that's always. Thank you, Nix. I appreciate that, man, for real. Like, that means a lot coming from you. I appreciate you just supporting and, you know, you've been supporting. And I, like, you know, I didn't, it was crazy. Like, you know, I never, like, it's hard to get support even from, like, your own family and people that you grew up with. So when you get support from people, like, so far away and whatnot, like, it's dope. So I appreciate you for real.
I appreciate you too, fam, because I've learned a lot from you, whether you know it or not. I don't know if I tell you enough, but I learned a whole bunch from you, man. Got my business straight and everything. So, you know, I owe you a big thanks for that, man.
Oh, man. Anytime.
Yeah.
And tell everybody where they can find you and get your music.
Follow me on Twitter, 706NIX. And cop that motivation thing on iTunes, Amazon, Zony, Spotify, Mixer, everywhere. But just hit me on Twitter, 706Nathan. I'm tweeting
Yay.
All day.
That's right. Yay. And I'm retweeting. No.
Yeah.
Thank you so
much,
Nix. Thanks, Nix.
No problem.
Yeah, so you got a lot of love tonight, Phoenix. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? No, let me.
Don't do that to me.
Like, who the hell do you think you are? No. No, seriously, though, it's so awesome, and, you know, I'm so pleased that, you know, people, you know, this is what people need to see, that think that there's not people out there that's supportive and everyone's against them and everyone's hating. It's not about that. You just have to surround yourself with awesome individuals. You have to surround yourself that with people that are motivated, like Big Nix. You know, you have to surround yourself that's, like, nasty all the time with it, like, you know, Maggie Love, you know. So you definitely have to just be around people like Phoenix, who's, like, never dying and unwavering in her acts and things of that nature, to grow and expand, because there are awesome people out there. You just have to be where they are. What's your take on that, Phoenix?
I believe that you attract that which you are. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody that's been calling in, and then the built-in best friend, I got the twin, Teresa,
yes,
that called in. But the people that, you know, you pull into your life and that you gravitate more towards, you know, towards you are people that are just like you or you know, have something that they see in you that they, you know, feel that is in themselves. So I feel like everybody who is really supporting me tonight, like, I feel really connected to all of them. I think you, like I said, I think you attract that which you are. So, and in other words, y'all are pretty amazing, you included. Like, I don't even know how to thank you for everything. Like, you know, and I don't even do, I don't even get interviewed. I don't do that. I usually interview other people. So, yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think that we all have voices. We all are celebrity in our own right. You know, like God gave us life for a reason. So it's up to us as individuals to look at others in the same regard that we want others to look at us and honor that, not just as like women, but just as people. So my whole basis of what I do is you just basically do what you do and everyone else do that called in and that's tuned in right now, and that's to support, uplift, and empower, period. And we all, you know, hopefully we can be contagious enough that the more people that we, you know, be around or see that we're powerful in numbers when we be tweeting and retweeting, because I know people notice that. It's like, damn, like, where they coming from? You know, because I had someone say to me the other day, like, what, you have a team? And I'm like, what? And I had to chuckle because I'm like, what, a team? What are you talking about? You know, I'm like, I don't, like, play sports and look at sports. That's the first thing that came to my head because, you know, I'm a, like, blonde connoisseur when it comes to certain things. But
oh, wow.
They was like, no, on Twitter, you know, like, Twitter, you know, you have somebody that's tweeting, bang, 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 everything you say. And then other people just come, bang, 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 bang. And I had to laugh about that. Like, no, I have no team. You know, it's just, like, everyone that support each other because, you know, we just feeding off each other's energy. And that's basically what it's about. So I feel blessed to be around you, Maggie Love, Nix McKnight, you know, like Black Martha Stewart, Dynamite Travel. I mean, everyone that's, you know, contributes to everything that, you know, we tweet and retweet and tune in and support is just all love, you know. And that's why anytime anyone ever comes to me, I'm always humble and I'm always going to be this way. Like, everyone is important to me, everyone. So if I don't get back to you right away, I definitely get back at some point, you know, I really do. Now, the work that, you know, let's leave that part alone because then y'all might think differently of me. Look. Like, I'm really lazy, guys, but, you know, let me just pretend that I'm not tonight. So we have another caller on the line, 94. Oh, actually, that's my next interview, Phoenix, so we got to close it up.
I do want to say thank you, though, seriously. Like, you're an amazing person, and you just really, like, I'm proud to even just know you, so just wanted to tell you that, you know, and I just thank you.
Yeah, and I thank you too for tuning in with us tonight, and you know, it's nothing but a gain, nothing but a gain. And thank you everyone who tuned in to Phoenix interview, supported, tweeted, was in the chat room, on the phone lines all lit up. It was Christmas over here, and I love it. I love Christmas in June. So thank you, Phoenix, for being amazing, and I look forward to tweeting with you later.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Yeah, guys. So that was Phoenix. And, you know, love, 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 love her. So who we have coming on now is an awesome individual. And I'm totally excited to be, you know, talking to her as well. Sister Mary Beth is going to be tuned in. But before we talk to her, she has an amazing song that I like. And I just wanted to share it with you guys. And this one is She's the Girl by Sister Mary Beth. Tune in and let me know what you think. You can dial in at 818-495-6975. You don't have to stay in the chat room, but the chat room is open during the time of the show. Or you can tweet me at IntuneShow, and that's NTUNEDSHOW. And I'll read your tweets and your interaction in the chat room live. Hold on, babies. Here we go. She's the Girl.
She's the girl I can never be. Not her hair or her smile, but someone new with open eyes. She keeps the peace we can never find. She's the girl inside hoping who would have loved you endlessly. But far away, you kind of stood. A head so hard, a heart of wood. You blame me and I blamed you. My mom and dad would blame them too. But talking never gave us rest. Kissing helped us save our breath.
So that's She's the Girl by Sister Mary Beth. I love that song. I mean, I think she has an amazing voice, and, you know, it's unique. And if you guys are not in tune with her, I'm happy that you guys are going to be getting in tune with her tonight. So without further ado, let's bring Sister Mary Beth on. How you doing tonight, Sister Mary Beth?
I'm good. How are you? Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well. I'm sitting here, and, you know, I'm just jamming over here, and I was just, you know, and prior to, you know, going live or whatever, I was playing a song, and I was just like, I'm really into this song. I really like this.
Oh, thank you. You know, that song is, you know, of all the songs that I play at my gigs, that song, it just, it really touches people. People, like, even guys, you know, they get teary sometimes. And women who buy my CDs, they're like, that's the song. That one and Love Needs a Fool. There are those two songs. And I know in my heart of hearts, I said, yeah, that song's a hit.
No, it definitely is. Anybody. Yeah, for real. Because I was just like, wow, this is good. This is real good. You know, for real, this is real good. And like you said, it's definitely a hit. You know, it's not could be. It is a hit. So, you know, we just got to put it in the universe.
Yeah, it takes me like 2 or 3 months to write a song because it's like having a baby. It's you go through every emotion, and you every emotion that you felt years ago, whenever you felt that pain initially, and you get caught up in it. So you it's very sincere, and you rewrite it, and you say, well, how do I say this? How can I say that without? What do I want people to feel like at the end of the song? You know, do I want them to feel hopeless? Do I want them to feel happier or hopeful? You know, so you have to be very careful that you don't get morose. You know, when you express sadness or loss, there has to be a light at the end of the tunnel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because definitely. Otherwise, you know, to me, like a song is to heal people. You have to uplift people. You want to bring them through their pain if it's a song about pain. And then you want to help them stand up strong, you know.
Yeah, and that's a good, you know. No, it's a good way to look at it, you know. And you know, I haven't looked at it like that before, so you know, that's what it's all about. Like just really just bringing forth that you know message to people so they can understand and get a better idea, because once you give them the main concept sometimes to different things, it kind of broadens your horizons and open people up to receive you better. So that's
right.
Definitely, you know, awesome of you. So, you know, as far as like your name goes, you know, because I've been promoting it since we last talked and everyone's like, are you having a nun on the show? And I'm like, no. I don't know how many times.
So many times.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I was like, and no. So the last couple of broadcasts that I had, and I was saying what the upcoming shows were going to be to people that were tuned in, you know, people were like, a nun? Why are you having a nun on the show? Are nuns able to come on talk shows? And I'm like, really? So I just kept saying after every show, yeah, Sister Mary Beth would be tuned in. And then everyone's like, oh! And I'm like, and oh, by the way, she's not a nun, okay? So where did you come up with your name?
Well, where did I get my name? Okay. I have a name. My name, Mary Beth, first of all, I'm Italian, and no one in New York is named Mary Beth. I think the first Mary Beth you find is in, like, Colorado. My name is odd anyway. For my, for geographically where I am, but my name sounds country, so I was doing a lot of blues and R&B down here, and I said, man, my name Mary Beth, it doesn't say blues and R&B, it says something else. Well, the reason why I came up with Sister Mary Beth is because I worked for a church. I was a member of a church, which is a black gospel church in Hallandale, Florida. I really liked the pastor, and I would go to the church, and, you know, everybody calls you Sister Mary Beth, sister this, brother that, you know, like in a church, it's a family of God, God's the Father, and we're all sisters and brothers, and you know, out of respect, everybody, all the children would refer to you as sister. So, I basically started a music program within the church. They did not have a music program for the youth. And, you know, so I taught, like, the few kids how to play the bass, the guitar, the drums. Then they, you know, we did have a little praise team, and, you know, I had 5 or 6 kids singing. And, you know, I'm a school teacher, too. I'm a music education teacher. And so I've always been, you know, I love kids and I love working with people. And so that's what happened was, so I needed a name that was kind of like cool. So for some reason I said, I'm Sister Mary Beth. And everybody, not only did they laugh and say, are you a nun? You know, they never forgot my name. It's like, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, even though, you know, sometimes I'm like, is it the best name for me, but from a marketing standpoint, it's funny because everybody, oh, I heard about you. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. You know what I mean? They hear you hear it once, and you're like, okay. Now, I've looked online, and I've seen people, Sister Monica and Sister this and Sister that. There's a lot of women with the sister. You spell it S-I-S-T-A-H, or you could spell it any way you want, really. So anyway, and being a white woman and having a name like Sister Mary Beth, you know, all white people immediately think, okay, nuns. And all the black people that I run into, they're like, well, why are you called, you know, they kind of look at me a little cockeyed. You're like, why are you called Sister Mary Beth? And then I validate myself by saying, well, you know, I was director of the youth, you know, music ministry at this church. And they're like, oh, okay.
Right.
Well, that's
exactly. Nice. Yeah, so that's cute, and it's different. And like you said, it's definitely something that, you know, will keep people's attention, because I'm telling you, for the last 2 weeks, it's been an attention getter for real. So everyone is all tuned in, you know, listening right now, because they want to know, like, is she really a nun or not? Is she really a nun or not?
Anybody,
I don't think they believe me.
Sister Mary Elizabeth, Sister Patricia, Sister. Anyway, go ahead and ask me your questions. I could talk all day about them.
No, it's totally fine. So you're a music teacher. So, you know, so it's just safe to say that music has always been something that you gravitated to.
Yes. I always played. Well, actually, you want to know the truth? I did not go to college for music. I went to college for early childhood education because I have two loves. I love children, and I love teaching. I mean, I babysat, like, you know, at 9 years old. I was playing with the neighbor's kids, and I, you know, I always loved, you know, being in that role with people. And I always played music. I think my uncle bought my sister a guitar. I think I was 9 when I started playing, and then I played in church, and then I was 10 in 1968, so everybody was playing music. Everywhere you went, everybody was sitting around playing a guitar, you know, on the lawn in college. It was just a musical society. Everybody played something. And so it was really easy to have music in your life. You met at the park, and there were 5 guitar players there, and you all sing in harmony, and this is what we did. So it was real easy to have, you know, and I didn't feel like, and 2 of my sisters sing, and I was in lots of bands, you know, from 16 on, I had bands that I was in. So when I went to go to college, I said, I want to go for music. I already know that. I want to go for education so I could be a teacher. And I taught lots of different subjects. Being the major I had, I could teach kindergarten through 8th grade, any subject. But after around 6 years of being in the public school system, I said, you know, I don't want to build in this building. And I left that and moved into Manhattan and got a job in real estate, and I basically I lived like 4, you know, 3 blocks away from Bleecker Street, so I used to wheel my amp down the street and do gigs at the Monotone, Monte Perso, the Bitter End, and that whole little scene there. And it was great. I mean, I dedicated my life to music, and I had I always had to supplement my music career with 2 or 3 jobs, you know. And then, you know, I think I left the music business. I left the performance of music for like 9 years because my baby was only 4. I didn't want to go on the road. We had a really great band. It was called New Voodoo. And it was, my ex-husband is a drummer. He's a phenomenal drummer. And he had been going to Haiti to work with different artists there. And he came back and he says, you're not going to believe this stuff. You have to listen to the ceremonial music, you know. You have to listen to these singers, these melodies, these rhythms. It's crazy. It's awesome. And, you know, I was so sick of the blues. Blues was so big in New York. I was like, oh, God, I need something fresh in my head. And we actually mixed pop and R&B and whatever with Haitian voodoo rhythms. And then we did it extremely accurately. Like, if you go to Haiti and you say Jimmy Daniel, everybody, a lot of the musicians, they all know him. And they know, we were very well received, because he would take a rhythm that would have to do with, be made with 3 drums and put it on the drum set. and have like a couple of tambu players and things like that. So it was a great band. We had it was like 11-piece band. I had two background singers, and I sang in Creole and in English. But it was singing about the blockade in Haiti. It was singing about the religion respectfully. You know, I read books about it, and I realized it was a real thing. I didn't play on the whole voodoo thing with the pins and the dolls. It's all BS, you know, it's all bullshit. Mm-hmm. So I've been to Haiti a couple of times, went to a few ceremonies, and I had some experience of my own. So it's a very valid, real religion. So I did that for a while, and then we had a record deal with Arista, and we a distribution deal. We had a sleeve in Tower Records. It was very exciting. And then it was like Maceo Parker from James Brown. We opened up for him in some big club in Manhattan the night before New Year's Eve, and he said, "Wow, you guys are great. I want to go. I'm going on tour. You want to open up for us?" And I said, you know, and it fell through, but I really had to think about that because my child was 3 years old, and I was loving being a mommy. And I said, no, I don't want to. You know what? I got to make a decision right now. I don't care who calls me. If I can't take my child in style and I'm not going to be in a sweaty van with 9 guys staying at a hotel, who am I going to leave my baby with? You know, I can't bring the baby in that environment, and I didn't have anybody to watch him. So I said, I'm done. And it was, everybody in the band was like, whoa, you know. I made the decision, and it was a good decision. So, like, when I moved down to Florida in 2000, I was done with the performance aspect, and I needed to have music in my life. So I said, let me teach music full-time. And I teach in 2 private schools, and I love it. I just love it, love it. So music and teaching are so me. Like, there is no, I don't believe that you can just sing without life. You can't live life without singing. You know, you can't just work and not have a way to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just sing and be on stage and just be singing about life and you stop living it because you're all you're doing is you spend all your time on stage.
Right.
So that's
true.
Way.
Right. So, you know, your picture that you have on your, what do you call it, your timeline. And I forget what they call that thing. What is it, a banner or whatever the heck?
Reverb Nation or whatever.
Picture. So for all you guys that are not conscientious of Sister Mary Beth, please go and find her on Facebook under Sister Mary Beth and friend her, like her page, do all that good stuff. This woman has a set of legs on her that won't quit, okay? And I just had to put that out there because, you know what, it's nothing wrong with giving someone a compliment, especially another woman giving another woman a compliment because, as we know, most women are always out there looking at women up and down, like, who she thinks she is. Like I said to Phoenix earlier in the, you know, the show, like, who do you think you are? So basically a lot of women are always ready to, like, bash another woman down versus giving her a compliment. So if a woman gives a compliment, take that, like, oh, my God, like, the best thing out since sliced bread, because a man, to me, is going to tell you whatever. You know, he's seen it and said it all before. But if a woman just comes out and say, hey, you have some killer legs, or that's a great shirt, or your hair looks pretty, or whatever the case may be, I take that more to heart because I know that that's something that most women, it, you know, kills them to ever think about you looking better than them.
And you know what I love about women? Women, right? Women are like, you know, especially women are amazing human beings.
They
you know, a woman that they don't even have to know you, and they'll say, "Hey, I love your dress." And you just, the other day, somebody did this. So I was sitting at a bar, and some lady says, "I love your dress." And of course, I have to say, "I got it at the thrift store, and it was only $5."
Those are the most amazing buys, I tell you.
Yeah, we always have to tell each other how much it costs. Like, oh, it was only $2. I don't know what that is. It's like this knee jerk reaction. But everybody, and I like your ear. I mean, I think women are just, I don't really run into a lot of women who are bitches, you know, like, and rip you down. I think when you get in the public eye, people are just nasty. They want to either rip you down or they want to build you up, and then as soon as they can rip you down again, they're into it. So, you know, as much as I want to get, you know, have my music as much as I'm putting it out in the universe that I want to play in front of 10,000 people and I want to be a true success and have my music well received and it's all good, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, like, you know, then you get like, you have all that criticism thrown at you. You know, people like to, they like to criticize when you have
and they like to label
level.
And marginalize and, you know, be
right.
Stereotypic and whatever it is that's negative that can, you know, apply to something that a person can do, they definitely are doing that. But, you know, we as a person has to just continue to do what we do and just give them more to talk about. That's all. Just give them more to talk about. But Maggie Love in the chat room said that you can sing and she always wanted to learn how to play the drums. And Phoenix said, well, my hands are too messed up to play drums. The left hand hates me.
Oh, you know what? I can't play drums, honey. I cannot play drums. My son is a phenomenal drummer, and he's in my band now. He's 17. My ex-husband kicks butt on the drums. He was a professional drummer for a long time. I cannot drum, so don't feel bad.
Okay. Now I always wanted to learn how to do that. I always wanted to learn how to play the saxophone because I just thought that was just so sexy. Also the violin, which I had learned a few, you know, strings on here.
Oh, that's so hard. That is such a hard.
Yeah, it's so hard. I gave up. I definitely did. And, you know, Phoenix and I were talking earlier, and we were saying how we wouldn't give up or whatever on certain things that we would do, but I definitely had to give the violin up because it was just like, how am I going to hold this to my chin? I can't see the chords this way. I have to hold it this way, you know. It was like one of those awkward things.
Like, yeah, and it hurts, and it sounds awful, and you just sit there and you go, why can't I do this? You know, and then they got you playing Twinkle Twinkle because you could play one string, you know. And you just,
one string, Twinkle Twinkle on one string, E flat. But Phoenix wanted to know what has been, you know, your greatest accomplishments thus far?
I would say being a mother. I recommend everyone in the world to have at least just one child or have an opportunity to be around a child and to help that child grow. That has got to be the most amazing thing. You know, not even it's not even like, okay, do they turn out to be great people? It's just the experience of being somebody's mom. It's you love that child more. It's like God's love. You can't love another human being like you love your child. There is no separation between you and that child. And that's what they say, how God loves us. And with, you know, when you love your mate, you know, it's a little bit conditional, you know. You love your child, it's unconditional. It just is beautiful. So I would say if I died tomorrow, that would be a great accomplishment. As far as music goes, I think right now, and I'm 53, I am so proud of myself because all my life I've needed to get out of my own way so that I could be the best I could be. And I think, you know, we all hide in fear. So you say, well, I need to be great so bad that I won't do anything to really make myself great because I won't be able to handle if I fail. And so now it's like the floodgates have opened. I don't know if Jupiter, I'm a Sagittarian, so I don't know if the planets are aligned, but I'm like on fire. I'm writing, I'm practicing, you know, like every day I'm in music school, my own school. I play the piano, I play the guitar, I vocalize, I write. And to me, like, that is my biggest accomplishment is when I can be plugged in without fear, without apprehension, without judgment of myself, you know? So
right.
I don't know if that's the answer you were looking for, but, you know,
I mean,
don't know.
There's no right and wrong answers, you know. It's basically, this is how you can, you know, convey how you feel towards that, you know, question. And there's no right and wrong here. There's no judgment ever on the Intune show. So when
I think, you know, there's some great accomplishments of working with really, I sang with Mavis Staples on the David Letterman show. That was like unbelievable thrill of my life. If you want to ask me the high points of my music career, I have some of those.
Yeah, definitely. You share that with us, the high. So what are the high points, Sister Mary
High
Beth?
Points
what
was
high points?
When I,
mm-hmm.
I got, I sang background vocals with Mavis Staples. I was hired to, somebody called me up and said, hey, Mavis, needs a background singer, and they called me and my friend Ollie, and we went, and I had to learn her tunes. Like, I had to learn three tunes and, you know, went and sat with Paul Schaefer, and she's so sweet. Oh, my God. You know, hey, baby girl, you know, she's just a doll. She calls everybody baby girl, and she's just an old-fashioned, loving woman. And we sang one of her tunes, which was produced by Prince. And that album flopped. And if it didn't flop, I would have been on tour with her, which would have been a great thing. I sang background vocals with Paul Simon on a record. And we were young. I was like 25 or something. And I shared a turkey sandwich with him. He's like, so girls, you know, what do you think of these songs? Of course, we're all like, oh, they're great, you know. Paul Simon, you don't like it. So. And it was right before he did Graceland. And it was a real turning point.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, but right before he did that album, this is the album he did prior to that. So that was a big thrill. And what else did I do? I don't know. You know, I think those are the two moments that were really special for me. I was on Star Search.
Were you?
I was on Star Search in 1989 or something, and I was just 29. I think it was 29 or 30. And I was in New York, and some scout was looking for somebody, you know, vocalists and bands, and somebody from the Bitter End referred me. I went down with my band and to the studio, and she said, you know what, we want you to enter the vocal competition, forget the band. So I prepared an original song, and I went to L.A., and I competed on the show, and I won the first episode I was on. I was scared to death. I cried right before I went on. It was like, you know, I had put so much in this, and I was spiritualizing the whole thing because I didn't want to get attached to wanting it that bad. You know, I just wanted to be my pure self and do my best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you get caught up in all that other stuff, your ego, you know, you'll just fall apart. So I get up on, right before I go on, I'm like, start to cry, and the lighting guy is like, no, you're going to be fine, you're going to be fine. And so I went out, and I sang, and I won that show. And the next one I went on, I lost that one. You know, so that was a big thrill. That was a high point.
That's amazing. That is such an accomplishment. Please, you know, just getting on that stage, you know, and Star Search is something I used to watch faithfully. Sinbad and all of them was on there.
Oh, my God.
Aaliyah. You know, so it was a great show, and I wish that they, you know, well, they have American Idol now, but I used to like
it's
3.5
same,
stars,
yeah.
You know, that whole thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
I used to love it.
And Ed McMahon is huge. You know, he was, you know, he's passed on now, but he was, what is he, like 6'7"?
Yeah.
He's a really tall guy. I'm this tiny little woman, you know.
And did you remember putting on a hit, Sister Mary Beth?
Putting
when they
the
had
hits?
The putting on the hits when they used lip sing the song.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I loved all of that, you know, and that's kind of telling my age, but it's okay. It's definitely
okay.
so
you know what?
When
we get better. I get better with age, you know?
Yeah, some of us do, and some of us get worse, you know, but thank God it's us who's getting better and looking better too, may I add.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. I lost 7 pounds in the past 3 weeks, Gana, because I saw my belly in some of these photos. I was like, oh, no, that is not my stomach. Please tell me.
That's okay, that's really not mine. We're going to Photoshop that out, and it's really not going to be mine. No.
Do I look like that in person? That was my biggest question. You can tell me. I can handle it. Do I really look like that? You know, because you're thinking you're all hot and sexy. I have this little tight dress on. I think I'm all that. And then, you know, somebody takes a picture, and you're standing sideways, and you're like, oh, no.
Right.
So, yeah, I had a little reality check, and I'm, you know, you can't let yourself get sloppy. You have to work out. You have to keep your stuff tight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you look old.
Yeah, definitely. So when you hear your track being played, how does it make you feel?
It felt great. It felt great. I would hope that people liked it and you know, I'm not used to, and I shouldn't even say this because the universe always answers you. So I'm looking forward to that song really helping me move forward in my career. I think that song can lift me up to another level. I'm going to be on it. I just feel it in my gut. it's only a matter of time, and I love hearing my song. I wrote another song called, there's a funny song called Pickle Man, which is a true story.
Yes.
And I've heard that on the radio. This is a novelty song, but I've heard that on the radio a couple of times. Like, there's a radio down here that plays blues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that happens to be one of Elaine's favorites.
Elaine's
like, she was like the Pickle Man. I love the Pickle Man. She's like,
you know,
you're going to play the Pickle Man?
Oh,
that was
so
her voice.
Funny.
She was like, you're going to play the Pickle Man? She's so cute. I love her. You know, much love to Elaine. Like, she's an awesome, awesome individual, and I appreciate her, you know, connecting me to you and a few others, and, you know, she's an amazing woman
Elaine.
Herself.
When you said Elaine, I'm thinking somebody that works for you. Elaine's a riot.
I've known Elaine forever. Yeah,
she's
have you been out of town with her? Because I'm jealous every time. She's like, yeah, I'm going out. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. I'm like, really, can I go? She's like, sure.
Where she goes, she takes these amazing photos, too. She's got such a great eye.
Yeah, she's definitely a very, very good artist when it comes down to that, you know. And I say artist because, you know, it's just, it takes someone with creativity to do those
Absolutely.
Things, you know. So I told her she's working on a piece for me. I told her neutral colors. I want something, like, really, really neutral to put in my office. But anyway, you know, I'm going to have her on the show coming up soon, you know, I think next month or month after sometime. So, you know, we'll definitely be able to gain on
okay.
her. But it's definitely all about you right now, my love. So, you know, we want to utilize the rest of the time to talk about you. So what projects are you currently working on?
I have a band that is it's a great band. I've got, you know, I just had to change the bass player. My son is playing drums. I've got this killer guitar player that plays really smoothly, a lot of jazz, but, you know, he has a lot of coloring in his playing. So, and I have, I got a new bass player. He's from New Orleans, and he has a great feel, so I'm very happy with him. And the keyboard player I have is, like, he plays B3 organ, and he's just, you know, his solos are all ridiculous, you know. He's so good. He's so soulful, and I enjoy that. And he plays piano as well. So I'm doing that, and I'm, like I said, I'm writing. I've got like 10 songs, original songs, in my set, throughout the night. And I am writing a song. I wrote the song right now. It's called Barbie Knot. And it's about, you know, I was always a tomboy, and I didn't really, I played with Barbies till I was like in eighth grade, till my friends told me I couldn't play with them anymore. So I was disappointed, but I knew I had to move on to the real boys and real world. And I wasn't comfortable. I didn't really know how to be a girly girl, and I didn't, you know, my father kind of made me a tomboy, and I was comfortable being this androgynous kind of Sagittarian where I could, you know, I didn't want my boobs to grow because I didn't want to. I was like, no, I don't want my breasts to grow because then I won't be able to climb trees and stuff. And when I run down the street, they're going to move. Like, that was me, you know.
Yeah, that was me, too. And now I have way too much. But that's
Yeah, well, I would
show.
Like, you know, for certain dresses, I need breasts. You know, I need some rocking breasts, but that's okay. So, certain outfits, I just want to have the boots. And then, you know, certain outfits where I'm like, I don't need the boots right now.
Right. Like, only if we could
anyway.
Take them off and put them back on when we felt like it. That
yeah,
would be awesome.
So what was I talking about? I was saying that... Oh,
that
my,
you want about climbing the trees and, you know, you wanted to be
all
a,
right,
was
so
a cowboy.
Barbie, the Barbie song. Okay. So I did not know how to do the girl thing, and I wanted to have fun. I did not want to get married right away. I didn't want to settle down into this cookie cutter existence where now I can't go to college, or I'm not going to travel and see the world because I'm going to be married with kids at like 20. That was definitely not going to happen. So I really put it off, and I didn't meet anybody that I wanted to really get serious with till I was 30, and I didn't get pregnant till I was 34, and it was an accident. But I definitely was very, very happy. It was a happy accident. And
right.
So I was blessed, you know. I mean, sometimes it's never the right time to have a baby, especially when you're a musician, because you're always trying to do, you know, you're working on yourself constantly. You're like, I can't stop now. I can't have a baby right now. So time was ticking away, and I think the tooth fairy came down and, like, knocked me in the head. Let's go. Let's do the baby thing. So, all right, the Barbie song is about, it says, I played Barbies for hours on end. She got married to a boy named Ken. They got married the very same day. And every, they had a baby that very same day, every afternoon it went that way. And then it was like, you know, the mirror looking back at me, you know, it's clouded with uncertainty. I didn't know how to navigate these waters. Surely not a Barbie sea. Chorus is, girls like me just wanted the fun. Girls like me are still on the run. You know what they're saying. You know what ain't true about girls like me and girls like you. You either you're gay or you're whatever, all kinds of stuff they put on you because you're not with a guy or you're not married. You say, girls like me wanted that dress to walk down the aisle off into the sunset, but girls like me, girls like you are waiting for something. And that's the chorus. And then the bridge is like, some choices that we make, some are happy in your old age. You may be lonely, but it's never too late to find a true love. It's worth the wait. So This song, for me, is like having another baby because it's been bringing me through lots of emotions, and I am playing it on the piano, and I'm not a piano player. So right. I have to really practice a lot so that I don't make any mistakes. I'm almost ready to do it etiquette. But all the girls I tell about this song, they can't wait to hear it because I think a lot of girls...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of girls are like, yeah, you know. I think my songs right now, what I'm realizing is women between 40 and 60, and even young girls, like in their late 20s, young girls in their late 20s are empowered by me because they think I'm hot and sexy and they love my voice. But women, and I play the guitar and do all that, but women in their 40s to 60s, some woman said to me the other day, and it was wild, she said, you know what? You are amazing. She goes, you sing great, but you empower women. You're strong and you're gentle. You're funny and you're smart. You really talk about what's important. And I said, wow, you know, can you write that down?
Right, and sign it, get it notarized.
Yes, please, thank you. Can you say that again? Exactly what you said. Because my songs, and now I feel like, you know, hey, what? Guess what? I'm writing songs that people, again, I'm talking about us. I'm not talking about getting laid, you know, and going to the club and drinking and, you know, I'm not singing classic rock so I don't have to relive what I did, what people did in the 70s and the 80s, you know, which was, you know, big hair bands and all that kind of stuff. Now I'm talking to women who are still got life ahead of them. They feel sexy. They feel alive. They want their kids are all grown. Maybe they left their husbands, and they're ready to rock. And
absolutely.
They don't have an artist that represents them. So when they hear me, it's almost like they need me.
Right.
Because I'm talking about them. And I respect that so much because, again, when I write, it's a true story usually, and it's something that it takes me a long time to figure out how to express it so that I'm not self-indulgent in my expression. I want to reach the most amount of people and have the song do its bit, you know. And I think I'm really proud that women like it. It makes me feel really great when women come up to me and they're so excited and thrilled. I love your songs, and I listen to She's the Girl, like, in my car for, like, every day, or, I love this, you know, and that makes me happy. So,
definitely.
You know, I would hope that I could reach more people. You know, I would like to, I was thinking of getting an article in a magazine that caters to, you know, women in their 40s, write an article about what I feel the music can do and what we are, and then, you know, do CD sales through that and my exposure. Because, you know, we're not like a crowd that's going to go all hang out in one club. It's like we're all separate in our lives, you know.
Definitely. But I think, honestly, in my opinion, but before I get to my opinion about what you just said, well, matter of fact, let me say it because, you know, I got Alzheimer's, so I might as well just go ahead and say it before I forget. But, you know, I just think that it doesn't matter. Like, I wouldn't really, if I was you, I would not really just target, you know, older women. Because if younger women can relate to your music and they're crowding you, saying how awesome you are, how they listen to your music, so those are the women that you kind of want to target more or less. And I say that because if you're inspiring at this point in your life to younger women, then my focus wouldn't be, in my opinion, you know, just women that were older because, you know, I think that I can relate to them because they're around my age range. No, you want to inspire the ones that are younger than you because you want them to kind of see who you are and who you became in life and let them aspire to be someone like yourself, strong, sexy, ambitious, and all those amazing things that you are. Not so much the older ones because sometimes the older ones are already set in their ways.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, you're, you know, and girls now are not getting married. They're in college and they're 29 and 30 years old and they're not meeting anybody and they're beautiful, you know.
Right.
Gorgeous.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, Phoenix is, you know, had asked a question a while back and I'm just, you know, really tuning in and realizing that she did. So, Phoenix, I apologize. She saw your picture, which I have your picture connected to the link, the one that was your little.
The one laughing.
Yeah, that one that I told you was really pretty or whatever. She says that, you know, she wants to know what the heck that you do because she doesn't, you know, how do you stay, like, looking so amazing, in other words, or sexy or hot or whatever word you want to use. You know, we could fill them in with a lot of good stuff because I have a lot to go. You just stop me when you're ready, which I don't think you will.
Yes.
Which I don't think you will, because if it
go
was
on.
Me, I would still be like, go ahead, keep it going.
Go ahead, yes.
So
continue.
She wants to know.
You know what? Well, my mother is 80, and she is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I'm like, Mom, she doesn't have any wrinkles over her lips. She's got beautiful skin. She never did any Botox or anything like that. She didn't smoke. She didn't drink. She didn't get high. I mean, she's like, you know, she went to bed early. You know, I think that's part of it, too, when you take care of yourself. And so I'm lucky, and then I have good genes on my mom's side. My sister Joanne is 55. She looks really good. My sister Debbie's 57, and she looks really good. We just happen to look really good for our age. And I try my best. To really, and look, the minute I gain too much weight, I look a little more matronly. You know, my face gets round, and I start wearing clothes that are going to hide my belly, and I end up looking a little bit older, you know. So I think being on stage, you have to really be aware of what you look like and what you want people to think about you. And also, I have a big ego. I mean, I'm very vain. I want to look good. I don't want to ever look in that mirror and go, ooh, you know. And sometimes you turn around and you go, that is not, you know, my butt. Or look at that, Sally. That it can't be me.
Exactly.
No, it's just the light. It's just the light. Like if you ever go into those, I don't know why they don't invest in soft lighting. Because why would you find this thing? If you look, the fluorescent light makes you look like you might as well just slit your wrist right there in the right there in the changing
like you just might as well commit suicide.
Yeah. Oh my God. But anyway, I'm lucky and tell Phoenix thank you, and that's why if I don't tell people how old I am, they'll think I'm young and then they'll want to produce me. See, but I'm too honest. I can't lie. I never.
Your talent alone, you know, if people are just going for the age thing, then they're just sadly mistaken and they're missing the point. The point of who you are is not only just a character that you portray or whatever, or the morals and the values. It's also just, you know, your music is awesome. So if a person is going to sign someone and it's a true person of music, they're musically inclined and not just looking for the young girl to be running across the street. Tina Turner, look how old she is. She looks amazing, and she's still rocking it. So it doesn't matter to me how old you are, because at my age and years to come, I'm going to be just rocking it too, like Tina. Like, no one's taking that from me. So the point that I'm making is if someone doesn't, like, put you on because they're worried about your age, then let them miss out on a hot tamale.
You know,
that's how I feel about it.
Well, unfortunately, And again, I don't want to say things that tell the universe, because I truly believe that anything you say,
mm-hmm.
is, you have to be so careful how you say things. I would say that the record companies or whoever, they basically cater to the people who are buying and spending money. And they spend money on their kids, and the kids are all into these young Candyland cookie cutter songs, and like it's always been, but it's, and the R&B scene, every song sounds the same, and you like want to throw up, okay? So, but after a while, then they go to look for somebody new, and then they find somebody like Adele. But Adele's first record, which I heard it's called 19,
mm-hmm.
I didn't like it at all. I did not. I went to England, and I was like, she had a record called 19, which now she has. Then she had one called 21.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until she did, the only song on that 19 record was a Bob Dylan hit. And that was the only song that really got radio play in England, and that got her, you know, to another level. And then when she got complete, but she was a heavy set girl. She was young, but she wasn't the picture perfect, you know, girl, and it's so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden now there's a place in the industry for an Adele type of person. And, what they do is, even if a young person is only going to last a year, they feel like because they're so young and they have more sexuality and they can mold them into what they want, and an older person they can't, or an older person is not as marketable because maybe they don't have as many years mm-hmm. in them of money making. I don't really know what it is. I think that the record industry is absolutely missing on our generation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the only time you feel good is, I mean, Earth, Wind & Fire is playing, and Al Green. And I'm
mm-hmm.
going to see both of them because my friend's playing bass in Al Green's band, and I'm going to get, I haven't seen him in a while, so I want to go see that band, and I'm going to see Earth, Wind & Fire, too. My favorite bands ever. Is there anything on the radio that I want to listen to? No. So, I mean, if I put on Sirius Radio, then, yeah, I'm going to find some stuff. But there's nothing that represents, there's nothing except what I used to listen to that represents, that makes me feel good musically. And maybe
right.
I don't listen. You know, how about you? Are you finding anything that you
No,
that
everything
you like
that resonates with me today, Sister Mary Beth, is things that were, like, back in the day. Like, all the people you just mentioned, and then some,
right.
even further than that. So, you know, there's nothing really in music right now unless it was someone that I adored back then that just came out with something that I like today. And the reason why I like it is because they still have that soulful back then appeal.
Right.
You know. But other than that, I really, you know, don't ambush the stores and download songs like I used to from Apple because, you know, they got enough of my money. You know. So
yeah.
With that being said, you know, I'm more so into supporting people that are, you know, unsigned and indie and things of that nature because they don't get the recognition that they deserve. But we can go on like 17 more hours about that, you know, because everyone that
right.
I've basically interviewed feels the same way in that area. But I wanted to touch on really quick because the show is like winding down. We have like a few minutes left before, you know, we're done with airtime. But I wanted to touch on the song that you wrote about the pen pal from the war.
Oh, you heard that?
Yeah. You know, and Miss Olsen is actually tuned in tonight. And she's in the chat room.
Who's Miss Olsen?
Elaine.
Oh, Elaine. Oh, I forgot Elaine.
She's tuned in tonight. So, you know.
My girl.
Yeah, that's your girl. That's my girl. So we're going to have to fight her. We're going to have to fight you. I'm going to fight you over her. But go ahead.
I got an email from a soldier. I don't know how I got on this guy's email list. And I was like, okay. And I read. I thought maybe somebody forwarded it to me. And I read it, and it was the most moving letter I've ever read. In a moment, I was transferred to a pitch-black night where the stars were out. There were no stars, no moon, and all the soldiers were lined up on the road to have a, as a casket was being carried down. He was a sergeant that everybody loved, and he was all you could hear. The guys, as the casket went by, so you heard the unmistakable sound of a crisp salute, and you know, on his way to the Apache helicopter. And I said, "Oh my God!" Like in that moment, I got chilled. I said, "I can't believe how numb I am to what's going on over there." And I was embarrassed, and I said, and I wrote to him. I said, I'm going to write a song. I'm going to write a song. And he said, well, keep me posted. So it's, again, you know, it takes like, sometimes months for me to write a song. I wrote it, I go through all different, it came a ballad, it was this, it was that. And then I arrived at that song. And then all of a sudden I get an email from him, and he says, I forwarded an email to all of his friends, hey, I'm coming to Miami. And puts his phone number. I called him up. I said, I have a gig tonight. If you're going to be in Miami, you have to come to my gig. And I didn't finish the song yet. I was still, like, struggling with a couple of things. And I worked on it all day at my kitchen table. And I recorded it on a little Tascam recorder, and I put it on that CD. And that is, I kept it because it was so sincere. Because I knew he was coming, and I sang it with every cell of my body. So then he gets to the gig. I meet him. I sat him in front. Like, he was so gracious, and I sang the song to him. And it was like a thrill. And he got on the radio. I did a radio show, in Florida, and he got on and he spoke to me, and he spoke to the radio person, and he said, he's a very shy guy, very polite Filipino guy, very understated. And he just made me completely understand, the humanity of everything. So that song, I don't know if it's a little serious, that song, because it talks about people dying. And, and that way it's not commercial, because nobody wants to talk about that kind of stuff. So,
Right.
But that's the story of the song.
Right. Awesome. You're an amazing individual, Sister Mary Beth. And I'm so excited that I had the opportunity to gain on you tonight, and as are the listeners that's tuned in tonight, they enjoyed listening to you as I did. But I want you to tell people where they can listen to your music and follow you and support you from here on out.
If you go to Reverb Nation, that's a site a lot of musicians use. Reverb, like R-E-V-E-R-B Nation, N-A-T-I-O-N, and a / you put in Sista, S-I-S-T-A, Mary Beth, M-A-R-Y-B-E-T-H. And you'll see videos of me, and there are 5 original songs there. And then I play in Florida a lot. So, if you all the gigs are posted up there. So, and that would be wonderful. And if you want to contact me and they want a CD or something like that, they can send me an email, and I'll get one to them. Because I'm still trying to figure out that iTunes business.
Yeah, me too, Sister Mary Beth. I'm trying to figure that out too for the show, so definitely I understand. But I'm getting some information sent to me mañana, so I'll shoot it to you so you can read through it, and we can kind of help each other through it.
Yes. And thank you. You know what? Thank you so much. You're a lovely, wonderful energy. I really appreciate you. And like Phoenix was saying, it's so nice to know you and to meet you. And I don't know what you look like. I'm looking for a picture on you on your site.
Oh, you don't know what I look like? Well, I'm about to post one right on your page.
All right.
Look, I'm going hardcore with it. I'm going right to your page, and I'm going to say, this is her woman. This is who I am. Okay? Y'all all, know who this is. This is, Miss P, Sister Mary Beth Woman.
P.
No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, you know what? I don't mind. That's fine. That's
okay.
Totally fine.
For real. It's a crossover.
I would love to. If I don't find any guys, I'm just going to hang out with my girls.
That's it. That's how we got to do it. Us girls have to stick together, definitely. So thank you so much. And I'm going to be following up with you, and I know I've been a little lax on Facebook because, I'm relaunching a new site and, it's a lot going on, and I'm just basically like all over the place right now trying to, super extend myself as you are as well. So you totally get it. So I'm definitely glad that this all happened tonight. We was all looking forward to it, like I said, because everybody wanted to know why I had a nun coming on the show. So now they know.
And I will bless, tell them they are blessed.
They are now blessed. The show, the NT show, is officially blessed, anointed, okay? Officially anointed.
Yes. That's right.
And
people,
I love it.
People ask them how they are, you just say like you do in church, I'm blessed. That's it.
That's
you
right.
Know,
I'm blessed.
That too. I really am sincere about that. I mean, that was one of my, I love being in that church. It's a great experience. All right, so listen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening, and I look forward to the next time I get to share something with you on your show.
Yes, definitely, because we want to hear about the Barbie song, so, you know, keep
yes.
us in the loop. Keep us in the loop.
Okay, Mama.
Have a great night. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, guys, so that was Sister Mary Beth. Awesome, 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 just like I knew she would be. But I already knew that from listening to her music and also, you know, from all the awesome things that I heard about her. So I'm super excited that I had two great interviews tonight, not just one, I had two. So I'm just, you know, busting with, you know, love tonight because two amazing women I had the opportunity to sit down and chat with tonight. I want to give a shout out to Miss Aline Cochran Olson, because she's an amazing woman and she's an amazing photographer. And she and I were supposed to link up not too long ago, but, you know, we're going to make that all happen so we can get in tune with her and you guys can check out all her stuff. And, you know, Elaine, if you forgot about me, about the all-natural, you know, canvas for my office, I definitely, you know, we need to talk about that the next time I see you because I definitely still want that happening for me. And also, you know, shout out to Phoenix, shout out to her twin sister, shout out to Maggie Love, you know, to everyone who tuned in tonight. It was an amazing show. I had fun, but now I have to go. Tomorrow night I'm going to be in tune at 6:15 p.m. with the amazing Darren Jones from the group 112. So we'll be here, and I hope that you'll be here too. So until then, you guys have a good night, and I will talk to you babies tomorrow. And first and foremost, stay in tune with Miss P and the In Tune Show, babies. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
I'm in tune. 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 I'm about to take it to the moon. Let's go. I'm in tune. 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 I'm about to take it to the moon. Let's go. Just tune in. Let's count it down from 10. I make 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let the show begin. With a pretty light skin, diva name Miss P. Shout it, cheat it off the meter. Just as fly as she can be. Hailing from the NYC. I rep that ratchet third. Level, nothing like the mother bird. What you ain't heard?